Okay, now talk.
Well, this is a new scenario.
Yes, it is. Look at me all in person. I was able to drive here and everything.
From so far away.
Right? Actually, it's so much closer now. Living in Pegram is like, feels like it's 30-minute tops if there's not terrible traffic as opposed to the hour.
Pegram is my...
Is it your dreamland?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to come to our house, Sarah.
Yeah. Let's tell the people that...
Where are your boobs?
Ava said, these or these?
Are you?
I would say these. If I'm laying down, it's these. They just go off to the side. I am holding a very special coffee mug full of hot chocolate.
And
that
boobs.
Was made, the mug was made by Kristen. Shout out, Kristen, who makes little booby mugs.
Oh, yeah.
Or used to. I don't know if she still does.
Why would you ever stop?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Joy, really, well, so let's see, in context of this show, a couple of days ago was the tornado that was really devastating in Hendersonville or Sumner County, but also in Madison. And Joy went to the school this morning. And I'm sorry, I'm telling you, check in.
That's okay. Yeah, I knew there was some damage in Madison. And I remember, and I was surprised, but I didn't hear anything from her school. But in my mind, I'm thinking that a mom that has their shit together would have just gone to the app and like double checked that there wasn't any communication.
Sure.
I did not. I never got the little notifications. So I never went in and looked, but I pulled up today and to an empty parking lot and was like, I missed something.
In your defense, this has been a really, really crazy week for you work-wise and all kinds of work. Tell the people about your
industrial.
Yes.
Well, I booked my first gig out of town that I was given a hotel room and taken out to dinner and given a tour of where we were going to shoot. And everybody was so nice and so grateful to have us on board. And it was my first time in a hotel room by myself.
Wow.
I cannot think. Maybe not.
What occasion
but I cannot,
would that be?
Right. Because if you're taking a trip, sharing a room is cheaper. That's never, like, I'm always going to go for cheaper.
Like ever in your life?
So how was having a hotel? I mean, having a hotel alone now for me would be special. Before I had kids would be special. But when I had little ones at home, that would have felt like I might as well have won the lottery.
Right. Well, I didn't have a ton of time. So I was really just in there to sleep. And then I got up at like 6 to leave. So I wasn't in the hotel room for very long. But when I got there and set my stuff down, I had that moment of being like, okay, what do we do? What do we want to do? What do we like to do? What do we do in a hotel room by ourselves? Do we turn the TV on? Do we keep the TV off? Do we like, because if I were with Jeremy, I feel like I would turn the TV on immediately because he just likes background noise. And so I remember like wanting to go turn it on and being like, well, do I turn it on just because he wants it turned on or what do I want? And then I didn't have enough time to really figure it out before I had things to do.
I see you just,
I feel like that reminds me.
It was a fun prospect.
You know, when Cameron Diaz in The Holiday, when she gets to the house and she's just like sitting and then like moving and then turning off. It's like that whole scene. Like what do I do? Who am I?
I see you in the corner just flipping the lamp on and off and on. And off, just leaving it on a little longer.
You know what's really funny is I never, like some people like to sleep nude. I can't do it. I like my boobs somewhat contained. And I also like wearing underwear. And
but this time.
But when you're in a hotel room
by yourself. You're in a hotel room by yourself. And for some reason, I like gotten out of the shower and I was steaming my clothes and everything I'd been doing. I just had a shirt on, but I didn't have any underwear on. And I was like, do I even want to dig through my suitcase for my underwear? Like, should I take this opportunity to really see if I can sleep without underwear and how I feel about that? And I got up in the middle of the night and put underwear on.
Right.
So I was like, nope.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Can't do it. But now I know for sure.
Right, right, right. Your hypothesis has been tested.
The ultimate test. No outside opinions.
pure.
My choice completely.
My body, my choice.
Purest intention.
If that wasn't a check-in, I don't know what was.
I didn't expect to get that much.
About my sister.
I don't like that feeling either.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Yeah, I want like kind of specific underwear too.
Oh yeah, I've got some underwear that I'll still sleep in and go, I know I hate the sleeping in this underwear. It like moves to the side or.
Right, right.
All right.
Hey, Sarah, what's your check-in?
Parker was also out of school yesterday because there was no power at the farm from the tornado. And I started to go to a doctor's appointment. I was taking him to my mom's and then he just threw up like on the way out the door. And Eric came in and he was working, but he like made it work and worked that into his day. And then my mom came over for like an hour. So it was fine. Your check-in was better, I feel.
No judgment. Just come on. Keep going.
Yeah. Just keep it going.
There's anyway, more in there.
He puked and I don't know. Last week was so, I kept saying over and over, 6 events in 7 days for work, which you're a part of also. And it was crazy. So I just feel hungover still. And I wasn't drinking. I'm just like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pickled items in the refrigerator are down.
Yes. There's nothing. I don't even know how long it's been. Parker started going, he used to be like, you know, he has a fig bar like every day. He has a fig bar every day, fig bar and apple juice. It's his favorite snack. And I kept running out of them, which I just don't do. You just don't.
It's dangerous.
And he's gotten so used to that he goes, do we have any fig bars? Like he's always been like, can you get my right, fig bar and apple juice?
Yeah, he's given it. That's he doesn't trust at. You anymore.
No. Are you out of fig bars? That's how I know I failed. And I was telling Jenny before, whenever I forgot that we had to be on Zoom, that on the way to school he's just been talking about being, I don't know if it's bullied. That's a dramatic word, I feel like, at this age, but I don't know, being pushed around a little bit by this kid who's considerably younger than him. And there's like three of them one of them's older, whatever. And I'm just processing this for the first time and being like, okay, how do we handle that? And I told her I was Googling it. The truth is I said I was Googling it while driving. She said, don't Google it. Just call me. And I said, I'm Googling it while driving. Anyway, I'm just not
so many dangerous today, things happening there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been doing better with texting while driving, but
I feel my thing was like, if I could say anytime you're ever worried about anything having to do with parenting, never Google it. Like that's super, super dangerous. Like call another human. Like even if it's like someone who knows nothing, you're better off calling them and being like, hey, I'm upset about this or worried about this. What do you know? Mm-hmm. Because you're just going to get in so much trouble. Well, first of all, you're not getting human help. You're not getting human help, but also for your human situation, right? Nobody knows your kid. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows your family situation. And I'll say this over and over and over and over again. In the realm of health or development or whatever, there's this wide, wide, wide range of normal, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say. And there's like this 5% on either end of the spectrum. And anytime your kid goes through anything, you need to put it through the filter of, is this within that middle range? You know, that 90 percentile of do most humans experience this? And if that's the case, then don't stress out about it. If you go through, with what he's been experiencing, do you think that 90% of the population has experienced some version of what he's going through right now?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not stressed about it. I just want to help him the best that I can. Cause I think not always, but generally my response I just look for the advice on how to respond, how to not fuck him up with my response, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, Jen?
Okay. Check-ins. I've got good check-ins. Let's see. One of
Thank
them.
Thank God.
Right? It's about time. One of them.
As long
is,
as it wasn't like last time.
I had
listeners texting me being like, is your sister okay?
Oh, she's not okay. She's not okay. I mean, honestly, like I cannot. I feel like I've like died and come back to life slowly but surely. But one of those things is that I live in a new house. Mm. And my new house is so magical. I feel like I'm living in a movie set, and the fun of it and the challenge of it is that I'm not remodeling it, but I am almost like it was like a vacant, like it was not taken care of at all. So I've been like, nobody else would live in this but me. But getting to live in it, I'm also getting to like improve it, like clean a new thing, paint a new thing, rearrange a new thing. And so just being inside of the transformation is so incredibly symbolic of my life. It's like this week I got a washer and dryer. I still can't really shower or bathe properly. It's like the saying is that I like live in a third world country, but I still have, so like, isn't I'm all excited. Saying? Yeah. I'm like all like in the household, I'm all excited, but I'm like, oh, we did laundry. We got hot water today. Like it's right. This big, exciting thing. But anyway, it's really beautiful, really unusual. It is like living in a different country visually and with the resources that I have, but that's been exciting. It's fun. It's new. It's completely different. And then my second big update, which is also sort of my version of pickled things in my refrigerator, is I've started writing my next book. So ooh. That's just like, okay, I know that I have enough resources to, you know, get where I'm going. And that came about because I got to be a guest speaker in someone's college class. I have the nature of Zoom. I have no idea where this universe, what the university is or where the university is. I just showed up on Zoom, got to teach this freshman level class on, you know, phone health and all that stuff. And her class is actually one of those like most popular classes on the science of happiness.
Oh, cool.
And so she realized when I can't remember whose podcast, I think she heard me on Caitlin Bristow's podcast. Mm-hmm. She said that she had known the phone was a significant part of the science of happiness today, but hadn't known how to put that into her curriculum. So she was like, I want you to be the speaker. Had so much fun. And then she's writing a book on her class. Like she's turning her class into a book this next semester. And so she was like, do you want to be writing partners and us start writing together and sharing? Ooh. So I am so excited. This woman is amazing. And I've already learned so much from her and I'm just thrilled about it.
A new book and a new friend.
Right. New friend, new book, new house. My mentor told me years and years and years ago, like her advice to me was follow the energy. And that like keeps me alive, like just sort of scanning the environment and like, what's the thing that's like bringing the energy and like, just go towards that, go towards that. And that is, it's a significant part of my life philosophy.
When did you start adhering to that as your life philosophy?
It was probably, I would say 10 years ago.
Cool. Yeah. Cause I hear that and then I'm like, okay, well, but I can't right now. I have.
Yeah, no, but you can do, no, the energy could be as, do you feel like go as simple as like Googling the stuff about bullying versus talking to Joy and myself about
okay,
it.
That's
and
a
which
point.
One gives you more energy in life and is feeling more like, so it's mm-hmm. can be super small decisions too.
That's good.
Well, I feel like with mom stuff, especially even though we do it, we all know it's not going to answer all of our questions, but I do feel like Googling things probably most of the time just gives us more questions, but it gives us the illusion that we've tried to solve something or figure something out.
It's like worry.
But I do feel like even if you don't have a mom friend in your life that has dealt with that, they know someone who has. Somebody knows someone who has that could be like, oh, I'll give you this person's number, or I'll text this person and they can reach out to you. I remember hearing their kid dealt with that around the same age, or I don't know. I wish there was an easier way, an easier network.
Well, also, I have found that people who don't have kids, like, well, I think Avery is a great example. My daughter, like, even if you find someone that's like younger, like somebody who's in high school or whatever, or even middle school for your situation, like asking Ava about what Parker's going through, she would be like, yeah, like she could even give you a perspective from more like of his perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, now that I think about it, like I'll Google it. That's just the first step. And then I start asking people and then I ask the therapist and then I get the book. If it's something significant enough. Now I'm not freaking out about this.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That's why we can talk about it.
Cause you feel like he just says stuff about it, but it's not like coming out in his actions. Like it's not really affecting him internally, but he'll just mention it.
I think his self-esteem is a little bit like, but I don't know. I can't tell yet. I don't know. He's so little.
Yeah.
We've done so much to be like, he is like a gentle spirit, I think. And he's so big. He's like a gentle giant. He's towers over the rest of the kids. He looks so much like so much older than them. And it's one of the youngest kids that's kind of picking on him. And what I said at first when this, cause the kid's kind of been picking on him, it was like, you know, he's younger. Or, you know, I did the things, affirm the feeling, hear what he has to say, you know, the things, but then also, you know, this kid is a little younger. So, you know, be patient and, you know, help him learn how to, I don't know, act or something. I can't remember how I said it, probably better than that. I hope this is why I look things up.
Right.
I literally sometimes need to read it. And I know I'm just on the way to school. I know I confused him. I literally said, I'm confusing you. Let me just stop talking.
I had like, I was so mad at Ava the other day. She, mom and dad were going to, they'd already asked her like, hey, there's this fancy concert at Belmont, a Christmas concert. Do you want to come with us? We have an extra ticket. She's like, sure. So she gets home that day after school. She's got about an hour before they're here to pick her up. I'm like, hey, you didn't take a shower last night, forgot to take one this morning. So why don't you go hop in the shower real quick right now? Threw a fit about taking a shower. And then she comes out and she's like, she's just looking at me, like waiting for me to be mad. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, figured you'd be mad about what I'm wearing. And I'm like, well, that's not what you're wearing to the event, right? Like, it's just like your comfy clothes after you had a shower. She's like, no, this is what I'm wearing. I was like, okay, well, no, you're not wearing that. She's like, why? Why do you even, like, why am I supposed to care what other people think of me? You want me to care what other people think of me? And she's wearing Christmas themed fluffy pajama pants and a tie-dye Bonnaroo t-shirt. And she's screaming at me about how she shouldn't have to care what other people think about her. And I was just like, no idea what to say. I just go, I don't know what to say to you right now, but I'm going to go look it up. I'm going to go look up how I'm supposed, what I'm supposed to say to you in this situation, because I really don't know what I'm supposed to say to you right now. Obviously, no, you shouldn't care what other people think of you, but I don't know how to explain that. There's just things in life that, well, first of all, this is supposed to be fun. And if you had a friend that was inviting you to this and was like, we're going to get to dress up, blah, 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 you'd be excited. And you would go in your room and you'd dress up. For right now, for some reason, I don't know why you're putting your foot down about wanting to dress up. She refused to wear a dress, which is fine, but she also refused to wear anything with black in it, which is every other option. And she starts escalating and like screaming at me. It's as if she's watched a movie where a mother and daughter get in a fight.
Right.
And this is, she's like playing it out.
When Avery was that age, we got in a fight almost every day over what she was wearing. And mm-hmm. One of the things I told her was, when you see pictures of yourself, the older that you get, you're going to be so mad at me for not having done something about what you wear. And so that was one of our fights. I'm like, I'm doing this for future you. Future you is going to be like, what kind of mom did I have that let me look like that? So I would tell her that at that age. And like, I think it was only last year. She was like, oh my God, you were so right. I just saw all those pictures. I can't believe you let me wear those things.
Dude. Well, it's usually not even a thing.
I know. I sort of wish you would have just let her. Like, I wonder what she would have felt going to the concert looking like that. I just think that would have been sort of
In a different scenario, maybe, but with mom and dad, absolutely
you
not.
You were. Because that would have been sort of fun if mom and dad came and were like what would have happened? If she was wearing that when they got there.
Well, she had a different outfit on that was also not great. That was like her, she just wasn't willing to meet me anywhere.
Right, halfway.
And I'm like giving out all these suggestions that adhere to her rules of what she will not wear. And she's still just like, no, no, no. And then she would get, then it would escalate and she'd be like, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll wear whatever.
Joy.
Like, oh, will you? Because I've already told you 14 things that I would like you to wear, and you're still saying no. you're still fighting me on it. So I don't know what you want me to do. It's crazy because I was like, did all the meltdowns that happen. It's like I'm having teenage meltdowns now because she's having teenage meltdowns now.
Of course.
Like my meltdowns are changing with hers. I'm reacting like, you know, when you've got a baby that's having meltdowns or a toddler, it's more like I probably want to like scream into a pillow or like throw them in the crib and leave and like walk to another room. Yeah. But now like I want to slam doors. I want to throw things across the room. How I'm dealing with it is more explosive because what she's doing is more explosive.
Yeah.
In those moments, I just get so overwhelmed because I think, oh my gosh, it's never going to stop. Like I'm constantly still going to have to be evolving how I deal with resistance and pushing boundaries. Like
that. This is one of my new favorite topics. I don't know if I've talked about this in this setting, but I have not ever seen like there are, you know, there are phases of development for children. You guys have seen those, right? Like you've got, I think it's Erickson who has like the super famous, like from 0 to 2, these are the things that are being developed from 2 to 4, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And that goes all the way through adulthood to death, actually. Then you have, there's also one that's the phases of families. Mm-hmm. They also have like, basically it's the life, like if the lifetime evolution of a frog or there's one for a family. And I've never seen one that's for parents. And the more that I'm studying, like the stuff I'm studying with technology. So there's a part in our digital soul that goes through how technology sected with each phase of development will impact that person's development differently. It's why you see it play out differently in a 2-year-old who has a phone versus our parents who got the internet at this age. And so it is significant. It's like entering a new reality into someone's phase of development. So the more that I've been studying that, I'm realizing that how, and I look back on my own life, I see exactly what you're saying, Joy, that when it is actually becoming a parent that makes you a parent. Like you can't prep well for it and then be like, okay, I'm ready for the newborn. Okay, now I'm ready for the toddler. It's having a newborn that makes you not just a mom of a newborn, but also makes you develop the skills and character that you need to raise a newborn. Right. And then that
we finally have it figured out and then they're on to the next.
Right. So that being said, if you as a parent miss out, and like this is what I'm seeing a lot with parents of kids Ava's age, but older, if you didn't develop the skill set, like if you give your toddler an iPad every time they cry, right? So if you don't ever work through them working through their feelings and their temper tantrums, you have not developed the skill set for the next phase of parenting.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like if you've easy buttoned it. So the thing, think of if somebody like in like a externalized way, like if there was a nanny that was up all night with your baby and you never had to be up all night with your baby. Well, that's short term, really great. You got to sleep and you're a much more sane person, whatever. But you also didn't develop the certain sets of resilience that are absolutely required for raising a teenager. And then, of course, as soon as you finish that phase of development, you're like, oh, shit, I now have to start a whole new one. I have to develop a skill set for
On to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. So your spirit has to be broken just...
Exactly. You
know, the expansion thing. That
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom Colt, if you're thinking about what to cook for dinner this week and you just don't know what to do, look no further than Mr. Aaron's Goods. It's locally made in Nashville, Tennessee. You can get it delivered on Saturdays if you live in East Nashville. Tuesday through Friday, they're open 9 to 2 at TKO in East Nashville. And on Saturday, they're open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. You can use code MOMCULT for 20% off your order online. That's Mr. M-R AaronsGoods.com. And give them a try. You'll love literally everything they have.
I think Ava was about 3 and I met you and Adam at Gray's, I think, in Franklin. And I was not like for real annoyed, but toddler annoyed trying to do something, get her up those steps. I don't know. And you just said, I think that like this age is like your age. Like you're going to shine as a parent with this age group. Cause I was getting irritated and I was like, oh, I don't like if I'm having a hard time and this is supposed to be the age group that I like, that I thrive in, it doesn't bode well for me. But it was just making me think about, because that age group is so silly and I feel like I'm good at being silly and I'm good with that age of kids in general, is the silly ages. And I feel like what I wasn't expecting was that I'm the one pushing, like it's hard for me to be silly with Ava. I can be sometimes if I'm in the mood, but I don't like that. I just for sure thought that my kids' silliness would like outgrow, like they would outgrow it. And now I feel like with Ava, I'm the one that's like putting a lid on the silliness more than she is. And I really don't like that.
Huh. I feel like that too, a little bit. Like I'm better with other people's kids than with him at playing. And I'm not always aware of it, but I'm trying to be, because he's really, I don't know, I'm just noticing it more. Is that a thing?
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, it's like any of us can be amazing. Like even if you're a teacher and you're teaching full time, like I was a much better teacher to 70 kids, right, one hour a week than I was to my kids all day, every day, 24/7, all night. I mean, that's, you know, parenting exposes, like, it's not just your inadequacy. That's real. Whatever your inadequacies are going to get to be exposed. But also, no, the reason people say motherhood's the hardest job in the world isn't because it's actually the hardest job in the whole world every single minute, right? There are other things that are harder on a minute by minute basis. But 24/7 for the rest of your life, it's like,
oh, there's the rub.
Right. It doesn't stop. And everybody told me that parenting adults was actually harder than parenting kids. And I was like, oh, whatever. But I think what they were all trying to say without the language that we're figuring out now is you don't stop being a parent and you don't stop. Like I have never failed my kids the way that I have failed them the last 2 years. That's crazy. Like right. that, and they're what, 22 and 24 now. And the realization that our relationship is a lifetime relationship, it actually doesn't even matter if one of us die or not. Like it's still going to impact, you know, whoever's left is going to be left with an active relationship, even if it's just in your mind. You know, my friends whose moms have died will say, I still hear her voice in my head telling me whatever. Right. I'm still angry at her for whatever, or this is.
Right.
And, Avery and I had a big, hard conversation a couple nights ago. And I said to her, Avery, if I woke up every single day and said, what do I need to do today to be the very best mom that Avery could possibly have? This is the best I could do. Like it's not enough. It's inadequate. It can't be. And that the beauty of our relationship is that it's going to go on, even though I have failed you. And right now, I was actually reminded of just what you said. It's like with Avery being in Santa Barbara, I don't know how to be a long distance mom. I'm not good at that. I'm like, whatever goodness I have as a mom is an in-person experience. Mm-hmm. I see her twice a year. Mm. Like this is, I said, I haven't felt so inadequate at being your mom since you were Ava's age. We were actually talking about that. And I didn't know how to, I mean, I was like, I don't know how to do this. We're just going to have to get through this.
Right.
I can't. I'm so bad at being a mom during this age. And I'm back there again now. And I was like, honey, my hope is that I then saw our very, very best years when she was in high school. And so I know that's coming back around. Like we're going to have these like weaving in and out of when we are close and
aligned
and when we're not. And the thing is, her development and my development is as dependent on those times we don't connect as it is when we do. because she's also learning how to have her own thoughts and get herself right. through her own well, feelings
and her own resilience from going, I'm not exactly. getting what I need from my mom. So I got to figure out
right.
how I can fill that with something.
Get that
else.
From myself or my friends right. or my work. Right. And it's like, there's nothing about motherhood that feeds your ego. Like if it does feed your ego, you're doing something wrong. It does
or
not
for
feed
like
your ego.
0.2 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. It's incredibly fleeting. Nothing has ever been so fleeting as the moments where I feel like I did something right.
Exactly. Because that's not what it's about, right? It's about a lifelong relationship, and it's about being human and you and your child accepting the flawedness
each other's
of humanity.
Fault.
Yeah. And like, and guess what? We still love each other and we're making it. And there you go.
I feel like Eric is better with like what we're being himself, or I don't know, being his best parenting, connecting, play self with Parker than he is with any other kid. And I don't know what that's about. Then I feel, and I'm really glad, like I do really notice that in the moment and like take that in, because I'm really glad he's getting that from one parent. Not like I can never connect. I don't know. I just notice, like, I just remember playing with my nieces and nephews, and I'm so good at that. And or I feel so good at that. And I'll just be like literally last night we were playing, having a great time, everything. We were like in the moment, the thing that I want to happen is happening. And I'm like, we need to trim your hair. Like what?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like,
what's wrong with you?
Idle time almost makes me feel like there's something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm forgetting about. Mm-hmm. And when I am having that time where I'm finally like sitting on the floor and going to play for a little bit, like it's maybe a couple minutes max before my brain is already thinking, what's the next thing that has to get done? Or is there something I forgot about earlier today? Or yeah, I'll see a new thought will come into my head. Like, yeah, we need to cut your hair. Oh, your fingernails are sharp. We need to get those. Right, right. Oh, actually it's time to take a bath. Or like,
right.
Even when I go to bed at night, I'm literally just laying there thinking, last night, just for fun, I was categorizing all the topics of things my brain wants to jump around and think about. Like it just won't turn off.
What were the categories? Do you remember?
One of them was probably like 12 days of Christmas posts. Like, I could spend some time laying here thinking about that. Spend some time thinking about what we're getting the girls for Christmas. I could spend some time thinking about what are the Christmas event things that we need to do before Christmas gets here, so we feel like we did enough Christmassy things. It's not all Christmas related, but this time of year,
right, right.
Definitely,
there you go.
There's some extra stuff.
I think, like, looping back to Sarah's original thought about like the bullying and how to handle it or whatever. I think that there has been, we're sort of overcompensating for a lot of toxic masculinity now. And I think that it's really, really important for moms to check in with a male counterpart. If it is not a father, it's not your kid's father or your husband, then find some guy you can get the masculine perspective on the situation that you're dealing with. Because I think that is, if you are with a kid who's been like overly femininely dealt with, mm-hmm. right, you really do end up with kids who don't have thick skin, resilience, like a lot of things that they need in that stereotypical masculine world to survive their entire life. Mm-hmm. Like the whole world doesn't care about your feelings. Right. Right. In fact, none of the world cares about your feelings, just your mom does. So you don't want your kid only having that perspective of, like, one friend called me recently and was like, I'm getting so annoyed with the conversation my son wants to have with me that I'm like checking out, like I am bored out of my mind. And I feel so bad because I don't want him to think I don't care what he has to say isn't valuable and what he doesn't care. And I was like, you are going to be the nicest person to him. Like nobody wants to hear what he has to say if he wants to go on for 2 hours about this movie he watched, right? Like that's not interesting to anybody else. Mm-hmm. So for you to give your kid the feedback of, yeah, I love this. This is so great. This is so interesting. You're setting them up for a lot of disappointment and confusion when their teacher doesn't want to hear them talk about this for 2 hours. Like, so your job as a parent is actually to reflect back to them in the kindest way possible, that like helping them become socially competent, basically, for like, oh, other people don't like to hear that, or other people don't, or yeah, people are going to be mean. The world's not going to change to mm-hmm. accommodate that. Mm-hmm. Where moms do, right? We don't like to see our kid get their feelings hurt, but their feelings are going to get hurt pretty much every single day their whole life. And so inviting that masculine perspective in is like, okay, so what do we do when our feelings are hurt? Because that's going to keep happening. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and don't feel like you're alone in parenting. Even if you're a single mom, you still have this opportunity to pull in masculine perspectives and be like, okay, help me here. They yeah. really are going to be okay. Right. You know, that.
Yeah. And you know, that's a really good point and a really good thing for me to hear, because, and I feel like up until almost this point, but maybe I've overdone it some, probably I've overdone it, is, you know, I follow the books and do this thing this way and gentle parenting and whatever. And I tried to, I don't know, I don't like to call it just gentle parenting, but yeah, we do that. And I think both of us, I don't want to speak for him, but we both really, really want to do it right. So he will listen to, this is the thing that we say when this happens and this happens. Like, but you're right. Like, I think that's where we're at. Maybe, and you know what? Maybe that's the answer to this new phase, is he's ready to be a little bit more of a dude.
Right. 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 And, yeah. And like the whole concept of gentle parenting, like when I look back on parenting my kids when that was not a thing, of course I wish, like, oh, I wish I would have known more about that. There, you know, I regrets I have, whatever. But the reality is there's no gentle world. Mm-hmm. So there, it is really, really important that our kids face hard things and know that they're capable of facing hard things, that our kids face unfairness and know how they're going to respond when things are not fair. Like, that is life. And our job is to prepare them for life, not to give them the best experience of humanity. You know, it's just, it doesn't exist.
Mom Colt, if you really don't know what to do in terms of negative consequences, one suggestion I have would be to visit Camel Express Car Wash, where the vacuums are super loud. And for most kids, it really freaks them out. So just, like, you know, clean your car and freak your kid out with the loud vacuum. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But do text Mom Colt, code Mom Colt, to 30400 for a free $25 Best Wash. You can use it at any location in and around Nashville at Camel Express. We have locations in, well, three locations in Nashville and one in Hendersonville, one in Mount Juliet for your visiting pleasure. No, that's convenience. Yeah, check it out. Free mat cleaners, free vacuums, free detail air wands, these little blue handheld, they look like little teeny tiny guns, maybe sort of, with like a spiral thing that you blow out the stuff that gets in your cup holders. That's pretty cool. Also free. Yeah, check it out. You get a free Best Wash. That's the best one, obviously. $25 value. So check that out. And yeah, really don't freak your kids out with the vacuum.
What's next, Sarah? I feel like Sarah has like this huge list. Okay. One thing I want to say is we have talked about like merch for Mom Colt. I do think it'd mm-hmm. be really funny to have like a list of like parenting problems, like Google it, like one, Google it, scratch it out, two, punish yourself, scratch it out.
All the wrong, right. All right, the wrong, right, like right, a mug, right. A mug that yes, just has exactly. all of their
and then the last, you know, exactly. And then the last one being, because actually, Joy, I don't know if you remember this. I think this is even before we were talking to Sarah about sort of the foundation of Mom Colt was actually in response to that. Of like, what would it be like to actually talk to another mom instead of the internet? Mm-hmm. And that was, Mom Colt was actually about answering, like filling in that gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Penny right now?
Okay. I just went and got her. She's on the couch now.
She's been... I mean, from this end, seemingly painless.
I had her in her room, in her crib, watching The Grinch. And then she started going, Mommy!
We couldn't hear that at all.
Christmas tree's about to happen. Jenny, a Christmas tree's about to happen. And then when it actually happened, I was like, oh yeah, the Christmas tree just happened. I didn't know that could happen.
What happened?
Wait, what happened?
On the Grinch, like a Christmas tree. Oh. Happens, you know,
have you seen the new, the new one, the Benedict Cumberbatch Illumination version, like people who did the Minions?
Oh, I didn't. Yes, totally. But I didn't know that. I thought that, I don't know who I thought that was, but I didn't know that was him.
The voice. Oh, mm-hmm. They're, you know, where he comes in with, he like flies in the giant tree.
Yes.
Like the Kenan Thompson's character that he voices.
Yeah.
So she's telling Jenny like, the Christmas tree's coming. The Christmas tree's coming. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, great. And then like the most giant Christmas tree you've ever seen.
Well, the way she said it was, it's about to happen. And I was like, uh-huh. I was like picturing one lighting up or something, you know?
Right, right.
Gotcha. I gotcha. I've seen a Christmas tree before, blunt. Babe. Yeah.
You're like, oh, it did. It deserves its own announcement. It did. Holy moly. She just saw me this morning. I like put my sports bra on, you know, and then I have to like lift up my boobs, like tuck them in to the sports bra one at a time, hoist them. And she was staring at me and she goes, your tummy's taking a nap. She calls them my tummies. She thinks I have two tummies.
That was Avery saw my stretch marks on my side when she was about that age. And she was like, Mom, your vagina's sleepy. And I was like, it is, but I don't know how you know that.
It's been sleepy for a long time.
Your tummy's taking a nap. Actually, this list, Jenny, by the way, is stuff from this.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And this is stuff that I've learned.
Okay.
Sorry, so these 43 things are things that I've learned here and I need to research more. And this is things for like a caption or perhaps, or
have we talked about the caption of like motherhood, like every day's a failure? Have we talked about that? Cause I mm-hmm. think that's really funny too.
That's hilarious.
And like, that has been the most therapeutic thing I've told moms when like I'm in situations and everyone's so mean to the mom and hard on the mom all the time. Right. No matter what she does, it's like, oh mom, you forgot my favorite pie at Thanksgiving, you know, or my mom, you know, left so-and-so off the text list or whatever. Like, because of how much moms do, their percentages of failure are like way increased over any other human that's ever lived mm-hmm. doing anything.
Yeah.
And so I just think that where every day's a failure is like, oh, like what, this is my failure today. Okay.
Well, I like it. Motherhood. I think it's hilarious, but it's a great tagline, but it sounds so dark.
It does until you're, unless you're like actually experiencing it. You're like, oh, it's like another thing we had in my family, meaning the one I was married to and had kids in, was the problem of the day. Like mm-hmm. we all finally realized every day, which have I told y'all every song that she made up when she was little?
I think it was a while ago.
Every day begins with a dream and every day has a problem. Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, that is so true. So you wake
it does
up with
begin
dream,
that way.
You wake up with a dream. Like maybe your dream's like, I'm eat breakfast or I'm going to go for a run or I'm going to get
I'm going to go to yoga. I'm going to drop my kid off at Mother's Day out and get stuff done. No, you're not. I know you thought you were.
And every day has a problem. Like that, when you like finally like, oh my God, you guys, every day has a problem. How have we missed out on that information? It should not be a shock to us every single day.
So it was real cute. It was real cute watching you pack that lunch and get her bag all together and
it's your dream.
Make plans.
It's your dream, baby.
That was adorable.
Dream big, girly.
You keep dreaming. Dream your little heart out.
Once you realize like you hit the problem of the day and you can just tell yourself like, okay, this is my problem of the day. Then you don't have this existential crisis every single day of like, what am I doing wrong? Why is life so hard? This is it. This is it, folks.
Yeah. Whenever I was, I was like, had everything packed up finally. I was moving away, you know, too slowly. It was kind of sluggish from like the week and whatever. He had slept in. This is yesterday. And we're getting stuff ready, getting stuff in the car and getting like really hustly and you know, making everybody anxious as I do. And I'm like, okay, got to get in the car. Got to get up, get it. Like, which by the way, that's something to look at. it's like, I think he has like a sensory, that's a lot. That's just maybe a lot for anybody. And so in the midst of that, then he just threw up.
The funny part is you looked at me and you were like, I'm not sick.
In her face. Don't worry, I'm not sick.
I'm not sick. He threw up. I made him throw up, but he threw up.
I wasn't standing over him at that time.
That exact moment.
Eric had just come to pick him up and get him dressed and then he just threw up everywhere. So
when I was, I had to go do something. And while I, like, again, like 5 minutes after I left the house, I get a text from Jeremy being like, well, I went in to get her from her nap and she just smeared shit all over the crib, all over the poles, all over the wall, just everywhere. And I was just so glad I wasn't here.
Yeah. Again, that's the perfect example of what I was saying is that makes a dad a dad.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Yeah. That makes a mom a mom. Those moments, how much all of us would like to get out of them are what make us worthy of raising children.
Calling ourselves parents.
Right.
Got to earn the title, baby.
Exactly.
Do you get when that happened, were you like, I think I know the answer to this for you. Were you like, he's not going to clean that up, right?
No, I was just very glad that I was not involved. And he's better at all that than I am. Like, he's going to be more meticulous about what he cleans. He'll probably clean things that don't need to be clean. And I'll clean, like, what exactly needs to be cleaned?
Yeah.
What made contact?
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I've got to work on. It's like, because he's gotten way better at that. And he knows, like, he will clean it fine. But my first thought would be, I wish I was there.
I was just listening to 92.9 Christmas morning radio. Mm-hmm. And the question, their like trivia question of the day was it was like 60% of moms say that even if their husband said they've done this, they'll go and check, they'll go and double check, or they'll do it again themselves regardless. And it was clean, just general cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Jeremy's better. He's better at cleaning than I am. I'm like mom version of cleaning. I'm like, what's the fastest way to dump this whole thing into the garbage?
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, how about we move?
Just cover all this with a trash bag.
We don't go into room anymore.
A couple weeks ago, though, I felt like we'd had a unicorn situation that we actually handled really well, which is I had just left the house, hadn't even pulled out of the driveway, and I get a text from him saying, hey, can you give me a heads up when she's not wearing a diaper? She had clothes on, she had pants on or shorts, but not a diaper underneath them. Hey, will you give me a heads up when she doesn't have a diaper on because she just peed all over her chair? And I was just immediately annoyed that I even got a text about it. Like, I don't need to know. I'm annoyed that she did something like that as soon as I left the house, as if to like spite me or something, or just the like, of course, I haven't even pulled out of the driveway and I'm already feeling guilty about something. So I'm like, I don't have time to come in and like try to help clean it up. And I wanted to be defensive. I was feeling very defensive and frustrated. And I was like, just talking to myself out loud in the car. I really tried to put myself in his position and be like, okay, because I wanted to be like, even if I had told you she didn't have a diaper on, like she probably still would have peed everywhere, you know, coming up with all the things. I was like, okay, I could have said something to him and that probably would have the heads up would have been helpful. Okay. I'm just going to say sorry. But that's all I said. I just said sorry. And then a couple minutes later, he was like, I get it. I I'm not trying to be frustrated at you. I know you're thinking of like 40 things and you're trying to get out the door. And like, I totally get it. It was just for the future. Like, I don't know. It was just like, because I didn't get defensive, like nothing it just didn't escalate. It was like, we all just said, it was like 4 text messages. It wasn't a long conversation. There was a lot of feelings packed into those 4 sentences. And you could tell we were both consciously trying to just say, to just validate what the other person is feeling or thinking or going through. So I'm validating him by going, you're right, I should have done that, I'm sorry. And then he's validating me going, I know you didn't do that on purpose. You're an amazing mom. You're thinking about a bajillion things. I just wanted to let you know.
No, you were like, I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to leave her diaper off and I'm not going to tell him. I hope she pees all over everything.
I hope she pees everywhere. And then being able to laugh about it and go, of course this happens right when the mom leaves the house. Like, it's a classic tale, but I was just, that's like 1 in 100 scenarios that we did well, a bunch that we've done not well, but I was like, you know what? This deserves to be given some attention and noted that we
like, look at us.
Very small scenario we dealt with very well. I'm proud.
Look at us.
That's a really good feeling. And I am trying to like notice and celebrate those moments. And I'm glad that you did that. That is helpful for me. Because this is about.
Who knows when the next one will be here. Right. Well, yeah. I love you guys.
Love you. Wish we could have been with you in person.
I know, but I'm glad y'all got this time to be so schmoosh.
I know.
Together.
Look at us. We never get close enough to each other.
We should do a screenshot.
Yeah, I know, there you go.
Same.
On it. You got to smoosh again now.
You know what? I should also say before I end this meeting that you can follow, well, you can't follow Jenny for obvious reasons.
But you can visit me at losethephone.com.
That's what I was about to say.
Thank you.
And I was just listening to her podcast earlier and it's incredible. Lots of great information like what she shares here. And you can follow us at Mom Cult Podcast and look us up at themomcult.com. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Nailed it. Bye.